This is the first of a series, Amnesia Cure for the First Family. It's written to Alachua County, Florida, but has national interest. The narrative that follows is the first of a series related to the long, long effort to restore the true history of people of African descent in the public school curriculum. This approach grows out of guidance shared by the educational workers from a South Florida county that has had some success with that same effort. They describe the main support for their success coming from the efforts of parents and other adults in the community after these folks accepted the obligation to immerse themselves in the history first. They accomplished a cultural sea change in that county that saw people discussing Imhotep as well as Oprah in the grocery store line, in the laundromat, in community meetings, at work or school, after church, or wherever. These community members made of themselves the strongest judges of the truth that was present or missing in the school material in all subjects as regards the contributions of people of African descent. Under the same rubric, we should be discussing, for example, the abandonment of disenfranchised people in the New Orleans disaster as much as we discuss yesterday's pro sports game. It is certainly true that we of African descent should be responsible for transmitting our own history to our descendants, but we must first know it, and we must also defend it from distortion by systems, for example, our public schools, that we ourselves are paying for. We cannot regard ourselves as full humans or full citizens without our history or without the character to protect our children from what Carter G. Woodson described when he said miseducation of the Negro. Will you manifest that character? Will you determine to discuss this material at least once in the next week with anyone in any setting? Can we separately and especially together reclaim our own human consciousness and cease to be the bottom strata of pawns in this national and globalizing economy? All right, that's it for the soapboxing, and here's the straight history. Bush versus Gore was not the first time a U.S. presidential election went the way of vote engineering and warring branches of government, and Alachua County played a key role that first time around. That was in 1876 in the Hayes versus Tilden near tie that hinged on Florida's electoral votes and ended up in the courts and the Senate, prompting the appellation Rutherford B. Hayes about President Rutherford B. Hayes, who got the White House out of the Hayes-Tilden Compromise of 1876. Critical meetings to map that North-South deal behind the official decision occurred here in Alachua County, where this writing was first distributed. From 1776 to the present, Hayes-Tilden Compromise was the single most destructive policy foisted upon the descendants of kidnapped Africans and the many other Africans present in the United States. After the Civil War ended, the South became an occupied territory, held down by the same Army of the North which the Southerners had fought in their efforts to secede from the Union. These troops enforced Government Washington's way, including the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. Minus their 40 acres and mule, i.e. reparation, Washington delivered to the freedmen their promised rights to protection under the law and voting rights under a decade plus of level playing field until the Hayes-Tilden Compromise. Until then, Washington, D.C., rich white male Republican legislators of the North placed their heel on the necks of their estranged Southern brothers and offered security for the freedmen while enforcing government the North's way. Such was not done for altruism toward the freedmen or any hope for their rise, but they rose meteorically, coming from a condition of multiple generations in complete slavery, objects by law, and deprived of rights, property, and education by law. They manifested, in just that decade, one interim governor, two lieutenant governors, senators and representatives in D.C. and every southern state legislature, leaders, innovators, and conglomerate builders in many business fields. And all that was accomplished despite the categorical nature of the emancipation and some preponderous negatives to the system of education installed for the freedmen immediately post-Civil War. There was no food stamps, welfare, housing projects, Pell Grants, Medicaid, or affirmative action. The freedmen had only their own ambitions, their vote, and peace. That is, until the Hayes-Tilden Compromise Alachua County's baby. Just as rich white male Democrat or Dixiecrat legislators of the South, pouting in the doghouse on Capitol Hill, felt threatened by the black success and huge black populations across the South, so rich white male Republican legislators of the North eventually came to view the gathering black presence around Capitol Hill as threatening. Remember that immediately after emancipation, there had been heated arguments about what to do with the liberated slaves. Send them back to Africa, set aside a territory for them to administer for themselves, or just let them remain in the U.S., and considerable more arguments under that last choice about what the conditions or relationships should be. And under international law, the freedmen themselves were supposed to hold a plebiscite, a vote of the people, to make that very choice and receive, along with any of the three choices, reparations from the slaveholders to requite unpaid wages, pain and suffering, and the socioeconomic cost to their original homeland. And so we are still divided today about myriad permutations of those three main choices. With black majorities in some southern states and near parity in others, the southern gentry after the Civil War cried, "These are gonna own us if this keeps up." And the northern counterparts fretted, "These are gonna influence the White House in another two or three terms." When the Hayes-Tilden tie gave the rich white male Democrat legislators of the South a bargaining chip, they told the rich white male Republican legislators of the North, the party of Lincoln, to take the White House for Hayes and take their Union troops with them back to the North. Now that the Northerners could see this Negro problem looming larger than any North-South grudge, they were willing to let the Southerners handle their own affairs however they pleased. While Hayes held his inaugural balls in D.C., black men in the South began experience being taken out in the woods and set on fire, and other shocking and horrific tortures to rival the Middle Passage itself. And today, the existence of a Congressional Black Caucus in 1874 is swept away. This is the socio-cultural historic legacy of this Alachua County where this information is promulgated. The withdrawal of federal protection facilitated the rise of the KKK and other hate groups and the initiation of an 80-year wave of terrorism, during which the first 50 years were devoted to smashing the prodigious decade worth of accomplishments by the freedmen. The destruction of black Reconstruction edited us out of freedom once again, just 100 years after the Declaration of Independence did the same, upon deletion of the criticism of slavery in Jefferson's original full text of the Declaration. 30 years into that wave of terrorism, our second New World Holocaust, the stream of black folks fleeing the murder and humiliation had become a flood, the Great Migration, and solved the problem of black majority across the South. Those multitudes streaming from down South till up South were essentially bribed with fat factory labor paychecks to remain low-skilled, and so their latest generations are now trapped in those ruined northern inner cities with no skills and no more fat factory paychecks now that those jobs have gone offshore, thanks to the Walmarts and other modern tricks of globalized economy. And the strategists of this cabal, which guaranteed perpetual restoration of conditions barely different from actual slavery, for the very people without whose labor this nation would not have a brick on top of a brick. Those strategists found Alachua County to be a hospitable nursery in which to incubate their plot. The meetings, along with blatant vote rigging of ballots around Alachua County, helped give Florida's electoral votes to the Republican Hayes at the same time that the state went Democrat for governor. This narrative has so much other background from the eons-old succession of civilization in Alkebulan, that's Africa, to the development of the peculiar institution, that is peculiar compared to early slavery, the social constructs and economic arrangements applied during and after the chattel slavery period, the economic estimates studied under the rubric of reparations, and international law regarding the restoration of balance after an offense like chattel slavery. These will be the subject of future issues. References include P. Haworth and Hayes Tilden, Disputed Presidential Election of 1876, from Burrow Brothers, Cleveland, Ohio, 1906. C. Hildreth and M. Cox, History of Gainesville, Florida, 1854 to 1979, Alachua County Historical Society. And Historic Hale Homestead Tour Narration, 1996 to the present. Historic Hale Homestead at Kanapaha Plantation in Gainesville, Florida. Please join the effort to spread this history. Contact 352-278-8510 or email Tana Cabana, that's TanaCabana@yahoo.com. Peace.